Stay tuned for Hudson Center Stage.
Hello, and welcome to Hodgson Center Stage, a program designed to take you inside the Hodgson School of Music of the University of Georgia. I'm Alan Kroll, retired director of choral activities at UGA, and I'll be your host. Over time, we will be visiting with some of our very interesting students and faculty members and hope to give you an idea of the things that go on behind the scenes of the concerts and productions that you enjoy. Over an academic year, the Hodgson School presents over 300 events, recitals, concerts, opera productions. You may or may not know, but every student, undergraduate and graduate, presents a public performance in the course of his or her studies, often more than one time. All of these programs are listed on the school's website. Check it out at music.uga.edu and get on our email mailing list for weekly notifications of what's coming up. Today, you're going to meet Joseph Michael Brent. You may have seen and heard him fairly recently in the title role of Offenbach's Tales of Hoffmann. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. It's good to see you. You have an interesting story. You are here as a singer, but you didn't come here as a singer. What happened there?
Well, I was a double bass major when I was doing my undergrad in New York. I'm from New York City, and I met the double bass professor here, Milton Masiadri, at Juilliard. And I found his playing and his techniques and his everything about him so fascinating. I followed him to Italy to do the UGA summer abroad program.
Yeah.
And I just basically fell in love with the idea of being here in Athens. The community seemed great. And when I came down, I met Professor Frederick Birchinal, and we kind of discovered my voice together.
Well, you had sung some before, surely.
Yeah, I was singing mostly in choruses.
Yeah.
I went to the Frank Sinatra School of the Arts as a high school student, and I was singing there, but it was mostly in small ensembles. And when I graduated, I decided to focus on bass. But it really was Professor Birchinal who got the tenor out of me, for lack of a better way to explain it.
Got the tenor out of you. You started as a baritone.
Yeah, I did start as a baritone.
That's a familiar track, isn't it?
I think people like Placido Domingo, it's good company to be in. But I had a lot of fun singing that music, and I thought pursuing it, opera specifically, would be a lot of fun. And who knew that within the course of 3 years, I'd be singing Bohème, I'd be singing Tales of Hoffmann. It's just been an explosion of excitement for me.
I'm just listening to your talk. Did you notice that your speaking voice went up as well, or did that matter?
Well, I noticed, actually.
You sound like a tenor.
Thank you. I think that's a good thing. Some people have told me that it's better, in fact, to speak higher.
Yeah.
I still feel like I speak pretty low in my speaking voice compared to where I sing. Singing high C's and B flats and B naturals is a far cry from speaking down here.
Well, I'm known to talk, but I'm used to speaking down here because it was forced on me by a choral conductor way back in the 1950s. He said, "Get that larynx down." So I got stuck.
It sounds beautiful. I'm jealous. I'm intimidated.
No. Here at UGA, you mentioned opera. What roles have you done?
Well, I started out, because I started out as a double bass major, I was only operating in or performing in opera peripherally.
Oh, I see. So you didn't change your major. What was it, a master's?
I started as a master's student in bass and succeeded. I'm currently a master of bass.
There you are.
From the University of Georgia, and I'm pursuing a doctoral degree in voice performance.
Wonderful.
So I did switch, but not before having completed the degree as a bass major.
Well, that's great. So you got to play in the orchestra here?
Yeah, I worked with Mr. Sedell, and I worked with also a Dr. Lynch with the band.
Oh.
And so I've had a myriad of experiences here, probably more than a lot of other students.
More than most, that's for sure. I started to ask you about roles. What have you done? What have you sung here?
Well, like I was saying, because I started as a bass major and I was only peripherally related to the opera program, I was a teaching assistant for Professor Birchnell at the time.
Uh-huh.
So I sang in the chorus for Falstaff, which was my first semester here. And then it was that semester where Professor Birchnell and I kind of stumbled upon, nearly accidentally, that I could sing tenor and sing that repertoire. And in fact, it would be healthier for me to be singing that. And so in the spring of the next semester, I was I took the tenor role in The Merry Widow, the Lehar opera.
Yeah.
And then that went really well. I mean, Professor Birchnell was very happy. He gave me an enormous amount of encouragement.
Did you get an A?
I think I got an A. No, I'm not even sure if I was enrolled at that point. and then in the fall, I returned, and I was given the lead role in HMS Pinafore, which was directed by Dr. John Stevens, who's been affiliated with the school for a few years since Professor Birchnell has been in town.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the spring, we had a collaboration with the theater department, and we did Fledermaus, and we did it in English, so we did the Batman musical.
Right.
And then, again, that went very well, and Professor Birchnell was able to raise some money, and the several students from the opera program left in the summer to participate in the Greek Opera Studio and the Festival of the Aegean, and it's a summer program in Greece. And we did La Traviata, and we did a scenes program, and got a great training there. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, we came back and hit them hard with Bohème. And that was at that point, the biggest role I'd ever taken on.
Well, that's fabulous. We'd love to hear something of your singing. What have you brought to play for us?
Yes, I've brought some selections, and I think it might be best if we start with Bohème.
Good.
It's ultra well-known, and we could hear the aria from the first act.
Act one,
the Manina.
Tell us what's happening there.
Well, it's a really excellent moment in the opera. The men had just left. Rodolfo's a part of a team of three other Bohemians, and they live in a garret, above Paris. And the men have left to go to town to get a drink. It's Christmas Eve, and Rodolfo stays at home to finish writing a paper. And Mimi enters. She needs a light for her candle. She loses her key. And that's the moment in which, really, he falls in love with her. He sees her for the first time, and he puts his hand on hers. In fact, the joke in the opera is that he sees the key before she does, picks it up and hides it, just so that he can interact with her.
And then what does Kejeli de Manina mean?
Well, it means literally what a frozen little hand.
Yeah, your little hand's so cold,
And that's... I mean, it's just the poetry of that is so beautiful. They found a way, Puccini and the librettists found a way to create poetry that seems so much like prose that, I mean, you can't help but fall in love with what he says to her.
And she has just sung a beautiful aria just before this, so it just sets the scene so beautifully.
Yeah, the cool thing that I've learned about the opera in my research is that Henri Murger, who wrote Scenes of the Bohemian Life, was putting himself in the character of Rodolfo. So Rodolfo is Murger, and it gives a really different outlook to the character if you think of him as not just the author of the poem he's singing to her, or the other things that he writes in throughout the opera, but as the author of the entire situation, and that in some ways, yes, it's maybe an episode from reality, but also it's kind of like it's a memory that Rodolfo has, that he's telling the entire story is really through the eyes of Rodolfo.
Well, let's listen to it.
Scaldar, cerco his song. His song, song for ever, echoes a faccio.
Joe, that was wonderful. You've just heard Che Gelida Manina from Puccini's La Boheme with the UGA Orchestra and our guest today, Joe Brent. This is Hudson Center Stage. I'm Alan Kroll, and we're talking to Joe about his wonderful transformation here at UGA, coming here as a bass player, getting a degree in bass playing, and now one of our star singers. I think that's just a fabulous story. I know you mentioned going to the Frank Sinatra School of the Arts.
Yes.
Go back and talk about coming up as a singer. What was your life like at home? What made you what you are?
Oh, that's a complicated. I mean, we only have 30 minutes, right?
Yeah.
But I have so many people to thank throughout my whole life. I've never received anything but encouragement from school teachers to family. I mean, to everybody, even people not involved in music. And that's been really special to me. It's so important to have support. And I found that here in this community. I mean, everywhere I go, people are so friendly. Even people who don't know me, people who don't really even have any interest in opera music. I mean, just the community is so beautiful here. And I've been fortunate to have something like that throughout my entire life. I grew up in New York City, and a lot of people don't really think of it as a tight community or as a nurturing community. But for me, growing up in Queens and having a family that's from New York and having so many different people from so many different countries and ethnicities and races and language, it was for me beautiful. And I felt at home. I feel at home even now when I go back.
Yeah. So
it was really the encouragement from my community. I mean, I went to, we called it a magnet school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sang when I was in elementary school. And I took a brief hiatus from singing and from playing. Because I started as a clarinet player, actually,
right.
When I was in elementary school, in the marching band.
Uh-huh.
And then I got to high school. And I was either going to go to high school as a drama student, mm-hmm. as a football player,
Yes, I can see that.
Or as a singer. And my dad suggested that going as singing would be in my best interest. So,
well, then how did you get channeled into bass?
Well, that's another story. I fell in love with jazz.
Ah.
I love jazz. I was playing electric bass in rock bands,
uh-huh.
actually. And my friends and I, classic story, went to the local guitar store, yeah. and we found instruments that we thought were really great, and we just started playing. I picked up the bass, for no reason, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Just, it happened to be a nice sparkly red, electric bass, and my mom said, no, that's $400. We'll get you we don't know if this is going to go anywhere. So, after a few years of playing electric bass and taking lessons and learning to read music and mm-hmm. learning history and doing like jazz arrangements at school, at high school,
mm-hmm.
I mean, the high school is the Frank Sinatra School of the Arts, but it's founded by Tony Bennett. So that type of middle 20th century jazz music is very close to me. And so
I think of Tony Bennett and Astoria. Is the school in Astoria?
It's currently in Astoria.
Uh-huh.
It didn't start there, but that's where it was headed from day one.
Yeah.
And it was actually in Long Island City when I was there. And I mean, it's maybe a mile, if that much, from Astoria. But yeah, it's in his hometown now, and the facilities are outstanding.
Yeah.
And it's a really great place for high school students in New York City to go and learn. And I learned a lot while I was a student there, even though we didn't have the facilities
mm-hmm.
that they have currently. The faculty, there's Heidi Best and Mr. Thomas Sondry. I mean, they're all these people that, of course, aren't very well known to the huge public, maybe even in Georgia. But for me, there were some columns.
There were stars.
Exactly. I mean, people who had sung on opera stages and sung musical theater and who could impart everything that they had learned to high school students. I mean, in some ways, it didn't even feel like high school for me. It felt like something really magical because it's not all that different from what I experienced in college. I mean, it was just younger.
Yeah.
I mean, I had music theory classes and I had music history classes and I had choir class and we would talk and listen and go to see operas. I mean, that's the best part about growing up in New York City was that I went to New York City Opera. I went to the Met. I saw the New York Philharmonic. And that was really, again, not for lack of a better word to say it, it's just a beautiful part of growing up in such a big city.
Well, we ought to hear something else. What else have you got on recordings that you could play for us?
Well, I figured I also brought some of the some English. I brought some of the HMS Pinafore or maybe even something Pirates of Penzance. I think actually we did it just recently, so it might be something useful to listen to.
Good. Let's do that.
Sure.
I started to say aria. I guess it is an aria, even though it's an operetta. What is it?
Yeah, well, this scene that I brought is a moment in which Frederick, the character that I played, sees all of the bevy of beautiful maidens. He sees women for the first time. He spent his entire life as an orphan on a ship, and he's never met anybody besides the
fellow shipmates.
Yeah, and so seeing a bunch of young women has really excited him. And this is his aria when he introduces himself to the women. It's, "Oh, is there not one maiden here?"
Oh, that sounds good. Let's listen to it.
Does not feel the mortal beauty of making worldly interest subordinate to sense of duty. Who would not give up willingly all matrimonial ambition to rescue such an one as I from his unfortunate position, from his possession, to rescue such an one as I from his unfortunate possession. Homely face and bad complexion have caused all hope to disappear of ever winning man's affection. To such an one, if such there be, I swear by heaven's arch above you, if you will
on me. However plain you be, I love you. However plain you be, if you will cast your eyes on me, however plain you be, I love you. I love you. I
That was wonderful. Well, you know, that was sounded like a wonderful high school experience going back before the aria. What'd you do after that?
Well, I have to be honest with you, and I'll be honest with the listeners. I was a little intimidated when I was coming out of high school. I wanted to pursue singing, but I was just so afraid of that world because it is an intimidating world. I mean, you have to know so many languages. You have to sing so well. It is always so criticized. And even though there are great communities, like I said earlier, that are very supportive, you know, sometimes, especially in the world of opera, things can get very critical.
Well, can I interrupt and also say that women, young women singers, mature so much earlier than we men do.
It's true.
Then they can be miles ahead of us as career-wise, and we're just finding I'm not a singer anymore, but you are still just finding things.
Yeah, in fact, I think had I had gone to school for singing at that point, I don't think any of this really would have happened. I mean, there's no way to say it, of course, but, you know, I was singing baritone at the time. I would have auditioned as a baritone. Who knows if anyone would have picked me up as a tenor. So I'm very positive that every choice I've made so far has been the right choice. But to go back to that choice after high school, I wanted to go to college, and I knew that I wanted to pursue music. And at that time, I really wasn't playing in an orchestra. I wasn't playing classical music. So this is actually another kind of interesting story that an experience I had is that I went online to all of the big schools in New York. I knew Juilliard, Manhattan School of Music, Manus, Ithaca, Purchase College, all of these schools in the Northeast that would be close to home and that would give me a good education. And I said, let me see what the requirements are. So I went on and I said, well, I know that if I want to be a good musician, I should learn how to play classical music because I need to learn technique and I need to learn style. And if I can do that, I'm sure I could do anything. And so I learned. I picked up classical pieces like a Capuzzi concerto, like a classical concerto for bass. And I'd never played any of this music before. I mean, I only knew classical music because I'd listened to it. I was never played an orchestra, never played any solo music. I just plucked the bass and slapped it, you know, all day.
And marching band didn't prepare you either.
Right? Well, you know, not in the clarinet. I guess a walking bass line, but it's a bad joke. So. But I learned these classical pieces, and I auditioned everywhere. I auditioned for jazz programs, for classical programs, like I said, Manhattan School of Music, Purchase College, everywhere in the Northeast. And sadly, I did not get in anywhere, which is not a surprise because my competition were people who had been in orchestra for at least 4 years. I mean, some violinists start when they're 3 years old. Yeah. So I had a really interesting interaction with the panel who was listening to me at Manhattan School of Music. And I guess I look back today and they were kind of being snarky, but they said, why are you doing this? And I took that opportunity to say, I love music. I love music and I will pursue this at all costs. And I want to be a bass player. I want to be a musician. So if I'm here or somewhere else, I will do it. And apparently that caught the ear of Mr. Timothy Cobb, who is the principal double bassist of the Metropolitan Opera. And when he heard me, because he's also faculty at Purchase College, when he heard me at Purchase, he said, this would be a great school for you to go to. I would love to have you as a student. I remember what you said at Manhattan School of Music.
I'll be darned.
And that was my introduction, really, and my gateway to all of this. And so I have Timothy Cobb to thank for my exposure.
Recognizing the potential there.
Yeah, and so I started as a bass player there, and because of his affiliation as the bass player at the Met, the principal bass player at the Met, I got to go to operas almost weekly. I mean, he would give me tickets and complimentary tickets all the time. So he knew that opera was in me. Yeah. He knew that I loved the medium, and he knew that if it wasn't for his encouragement, and I mean, that was the only school that I got into. So if it wasn't for him,
well,
really.
It's also a very fine music school, and as you say, close to home.
Yeah, indeed it is. I was only 30 minutes away from home, and yeah. I actually, if you ever get a chance to hear an opera by Lee Hoiby, it's The Tempest. Purchase College is the only available recording of that opera. And so I'm actually as the bass player on that recording. And nowadays I'm singing...
I'll go back and listen to it again.
Yeah, nowadays I'm singing an aria from the opera. So yeah. I actually have a cool perspective on it.
That's great. Thanks so much, Joe. It's been such a great pleasure to have this conversation with you. I really mean it.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and I'd like just to thank everyone who's been a part of making this happen, the radio station and yourself and the people at the School of Music and the entire Athens community and everyone, because this is such a treat for me. I mean, it's almost overwhelming, but I appreciate the attention. I appreciate the conversation and the time.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure, believe me. Well, folks, you've been listening to Hodgson Center Stage, a periodic program taking you inside the University of Georgia's Hugh Hodgson School of Music. Again, I invite you to visit the school's website at music.uga.edu. Go to the bottom of the page and click on mailing list so you can keep up with all of our various activities. This program is a co-production of the Hugh Hodgson School of Music, a department of the Franklin College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Georgia, and WUGA-FM. It comes to you from the studios of WUGA and is produced and edited by Ellie Ellis. I'm your host, Alan Kroll, and I'm wishing you good listening.